So today is a day that we believe that God has inspired the world. The word inspire is a perfectly appropriate one. It just means breathe onto, as we get in the passage from Acts, things from the Galatians, and the letter from John. And I thought it might be useful, in order to clarify what we're talking about here, to use that somewhat unusual term in order to exclude certain possibilities. The only place that I find the word inspiration normally is in the video stores. It's a typical description, a very inspiring story, this, you know, true to life. Well, in fact, they're never true to life. They're basically emotionally manipulative and really a falsification of things. But they point to what I think is the normal understanding of inspiration, which is some kind of emotional exaltation. Uplift is a wonderful word that I hear frequently. Uplift. The Spirit has nothing to do with uplift. Nothing. If there is, we'll see, I hope, in a couple minutes, if there is a kind of emotional accompaniment to the action of the Spirit, then we'll have to see how that worked out. And it certainly doesn't have anything to do with the notion of spirituality, which has become so classic a term that can apply to almost anything. And it does not have to do with some kind of anti-sexual notion, which you might pick up from this passage from Paul, because Paul, as a good Jew, used the word spirit as any good Jew did, namely the enlivening power of God. The paradigmatic instance of this, of course, is God breathing into this little clay dummy who became, therefore, a living human being. The Spirit, in other words, is the enlivening power of God among us. Or, to use a more modern word, which I think is a really good synonym, empowering. What does the Spirit do? Well, every year, I go back to that wonderful line from Karl Rahner, who was asked one time, how can you tell when the Spirit is working? He said, the Spirit is present whenever one human being takes another human being seriously. That's a glorious statement. Which means what? That somehow I have to disencumber myself of my own prejudices, biases, narrowness, to let this other human being become present to me in their own reality, to which I then can respond. In other words, the Spirit of God enlarges my vision, opens my heart, activates me. That's the crucial word, huh? It makes me live in a quite different way than the way I normally live, which is pretty much to be self-engrossed and self-concerned. So this is what we're supposed to be celebrating today. God, in a sense, recreating the world. We get the famous thing in Acts where Luke quite consciously uses a reversal of the Babel story from the book of Genesis, huh? If people can speak to each other and really hear each other, the Spirit of God is operating then, opening us up, enlarging us, moving us beyond our own typically self-engrossed confines to see the world, to respond to the world. This is what life is. This is what life in Christ is supposed to be. This is what the alternate reading for today is something from the Corinthians, where it talks about the fruits of the Spirit, generosity, love. Doesn't have anything to do with, therefore, primarily emotion or spirituality. It has to do with the way I very concretely live. Generously, truthfully, courageously. And if in doing that, there's a kind of aura of feeling. That's good. But all of us know that sometimes we do the hardest things and the most demanding things and no particularly pleasant feeling involved at all. But that's where the Spirit is. And if it makes us feel good. See, that's the danger of all this business of inspiration, because in my experience, it is a thinly veiled kind of sort of psychological hedonism. You know? I want to feel good. I want to feel good. And we live in a world where so much feeling is artificially stimulated or produced, or when we're so overwhelmed with feeling that we don't know what we feel often enough. So feeling is the absolutely wrong way to approach whatever the Spirit is doing. I want to feel real. If there's feeling, I want to feel true. It's not a question of feeling good about myself, which is, again, I think, a really questionable way of coming about this. I want to be honest before God and before the world. I want to be able to do stuff that normally I would not want to do. I want to be far more generous in the world than I am. And today, I think this takes on very concrete form. I mean, everybody in this room has probably lost a third of their pension, but we are still privileged beings. What about all those people who didn't have a pension to begin with and who are suffering? I really believe that the Spirit of God is detectable in the way we dispose of our money today. I think I really do believe that's a very important form of Spirit action. All the people suffering from hunger, disease. So we have to be, because the church has not done very well in talking about Spirit, where we get a kind of anti-sexual bias attributed to the Spirit, because we're all supposed to be spiritual, non-material beings. Well, that's a deformity of God's creation. That's a denial of the goodness of who we are as physical beings. But then we also have to be extremely careful not to find some kind of disguised form of self-indulgence and say, oh, this is what God wants from me. God wants me to be real. God wants me to be true. And if there is a sense of satisfaction from that, it is a satisfaction that is clearly rooted in the action of God and not just my own appetite because I'm lonely or depressed or sad or whatever.